You're listening to Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
I would think that you'd want Roman in the match so that, well, he could do all the work, and then you sneak in and take all the glory. Isn't that how it used to work when you guys were in the Shield?
I am the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for September 17th. Damn, September's already half over. Insane. Well, here comes the flyover. It's not a show unless that happens. All right, holidays today real quick. It's National Apple Dumpling Day, Citizens Day, and Constitution Day. I want you to know Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us October 8th for UFC 204 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. Main events, Michael Bisping versus Dan Henderson 2 for the middleweight title. I will be hosting it. There'll be drink specials all night long at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 204. Bill Gray's is home of the world's greatest cheeseburger. Check out one of their 14 locations, our favorites across the street from the building we're in right now at the Strong Museum of Play. There's something for everyone at Bill Gray's. Find the nearest Bill Gray's 2 online at
BillGray's.com.
Well, you guys are struggling today. All right.
I feel like it's been forever since we've done that, though.
Yeah, well, because I haven't seen anything from Bill Gray's in a while, but as you can tell, I'm stretching for time.
Yeah, certain someone always scoops it up, and we never get anything.
Yeah,
anymore.
No, this home repair dude. So, but you know what?
Whatever.
Power to him.
Some fish guy.
Yeah. He's got a fish in his name, but hey, interested in roller derby? Fancy yourself a skater? The job of being an official more apparently. Rock City Roller Derby needs you. RockDerbyRecruitment@gmail.com is the place to contact them and become one of them, or us, the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. Got a huge guest in the studio soon. That's a big question mark. We're waiting on the arrival of Michael Spinks, boxer who. His last fight was in 1988, and it was kind of a famous fight. He lost to Mike Tyson in, I believe, 91 seconds, and set the pay-per-view world on fire for probably the highest-grossing pay-per-view in all history, pretty sure. But tonight, the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame, it's their 26th annual banquet and awards. It's a Diplomat Banquet Center, One Diplomat Way in Rochester. It's right off, I believe, off Lyle Avenue there.
Yes, it is.
Doors open at 6 p.m., dinner's at 7. There'll be dinner, music, programs, pictures, autographs, door prizes, raffles. They're going to be inducting posthumously. There, I got it. Johnny McCoy. I know, I shouldn't emphasize that. The Courage Award's going to Fitz Vanderpool, who we'll have in the studio here in a few minutes. Integrity Award goes to Michael Spinks, and there'll be special guests Charles Natural Murray, Jarrell Big Baby Miller, Josie Basio, Scott Burt, Dan Kuko, and Steve Smogger, who will be in the studio with us too, referee who just actually reffed at Rhino Stadium for the fights they had a couple weeks ago.
Yep, Jarrell Miller.
Yeah. And we should have Jarrell up here with us too. But he's been in the studio before with some of the guest hosts or the hosts on the talk show 3 to 6 every day of the week here at WHTK. Right now, it's the Carl Falk Show. I think he was up here with Dan, our buddy Dan, who was doing the show for a while. But nevertheless, the donations to get in for $60, you can give him a call or call him there or give him email him at RBHOF or RBHallOfFame100@yahoo.com. But we should have them up here any minute now. They're on their way to the building. Hopefully there's nothing going on downstairs like any sort of, craziness in which people are double parking on the road out there. No?
I don't know.
Who didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything either. Remember that one time that the flash mob showed up?
Yeah, that definitely happened.
The day of the day of the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, let's not talk about that day.
Okay, let's not talk about that day. So, well, these guys aren't here yet, so until they get here, we're going to talk a little bit about the world of pro wrestling.
There's a fire truck now outside, so I don't know what's going on. You just jinxed us so bad.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I know. Well, Michael Spink's nickname is Jinx.
Hey, I'm the Cash Man, Rich Rich. I'm here with DC Dan Cole. I'm here with who's manning the tweeter, and we're here with Danger Boy. We are here with my Brian Burke. My buddy Stu is coming in to talk some boxing with the guys. And you want me to turn that on? Okay. I just wonder if – there he is. Oh, wrong one. Sorry. Let's try that one. They should be in here any second now. Before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about, one of the biggest changes in this past week in WWE was AJ Styles taking the title from Dean Ambrose. Thoughts on that?
It's fantastic.
Happy with the result, not thrilled with the way they did it, but I'll take it.
I've seen worse, reasons. I've seen a leg on the rope is, I think, worse than a low blow for a title change, stuff like that. I don't know. I'm very happy. AJ Styles, we had heard some rumors and stuff before Roman Reigns got suspended quite a while ago that AJ was going to originally be the title holder on Raw, and Roman Reigns was going to be the guy for SmackDown, and that all got changed when he got suspended for, was it Adderall he was taking or whatever?
That is a rumor.
Yeah.
I thought it was for those terrible dad genes.
Yeah, well, I don't know what else he wants, but they keep him awake at night, that's for sure. But we will say that so when those plans changed, AJ Styles got, relocated to the SmackDown brand, and he wins the title. And I think it means the guy, the man who must come back, the face of the place, the champ of the camp. John Cena makes his way back to TV. He's been gone since SummerSlam, right? Since he lost to AJ Styles. So it's been a good month that he's been, except for the fact that we know that he's been doing all the dark matches on every show, both Raw and SmackDown. So John Cena's back now, and now we're working towards a three-way possibly for the title on their next pay-per-view. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm scared that John's going to get it back. But you know what? I think numbers are more – when John Cena's on the show, the numbers have gone up. So it's like that's what motivates his appearances and stuff like that.
Well,
a lot of times –
I didn't see the numbers from this week, but I don't think you can attribute it to John Cena. I'm pretty sure James Ellsworth is the reason.
Absolutely.
Oh, James Ellsworth. Yeah. He's he really didn't get a chance to wrestle. He got knocked out by The Miz before
he was still on TV.
Yeah, he was, He was. That's not Barry Hardy's boy, is it?
Because I know.
Because one of his son was in one of those back. He's one of those people that got beat up by Braun Strowman. I'm just not sure which one it was, but
John Cena nominated him to be the alternative cover for 2K17.
I saw that. 222-1280 Star 12 is the number. If you want to text us, you can text us at that number too. If you're shy, we're here to talk pro wrestling.
I know we're waiting on big guests. Can we talk about the bigger news this week?
Sure. I'm sure there's much bigger news than
the finals of the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's, I mean, I'm sorry, with all due respect to whatever happened on Raw and SmackDown, best wrestling you're going to see all week.
If you haven't watched any of the Cruiserweight Classic, or if you just missed this week, watch it. Do yourself a favor. It's worth the month of the network to watch. Even if you're just binge watching the entire thing, watch it.
Yeah, get a 1 month subscription, binge watch, and be happy as ever. But, yeah, I mean, so we had four live matches. They had the two semifinals. They had the final match, and then they threw in a tag match with Tommaso and Ciampa taking on Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar.
Yep.
All of them were phenomenal, every single one. With especially, I got to give it up for TJ Perkins and Kota Ibushi.
Yes, that was a great match.
Hands down, that was the best match of the night.
Oh, I know. You were disappointed in Zack Sabre Jr. there for his last couple matches. And
he
how'd you feel?
Sell.
No, he – oh, my God. Like, I always used to crap on John Cena. The new king of no-sell is Zack Sabre Jr. Hands down.
Yeah.
And king of no-sell.
So I guess you're happy he did.
No, that's Chono from years ago.
It was, you know what? I didn't go through my birthdays, but I believe. I forgot to mention this. Happy 55th to manager Jim Cornette and 53rd to Masahiro Chono. Today's his birthday.
Everything comes.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird that you mentioned that, Stu? And it's his. And you might remember him from. He was in the WCW.
Telepathy.
He was the NWO representative from Japan.
He was NWO Japan.
He was Masahiro Chono.
Him and Fake Sting.
That's right. So, yeah, you know, no, speaking of no sell, but, you know, and so we didn't really say what happened, which I guess you have to watch it to figure out, but we're going to know Monday when they bring them all on to the, at least a handful of them on to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, without spoiling anything, I hope Mark is listening because then I really kind of wanted to get the spoilers. But the way the brackets were laid out, everybody assumed that the finals was going to go one way, and then it did not go that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people upset. But then in the back of my mind, me and Danger were talking back and forth about it online, I'm like, yeah, I think I know why it went this way. And then with what happened before the final match, with a certain something that was revealed and a certain someone that came out, I'm like, okay, now this final makes way more sense. Way more sense. But still, a phenomenal two-hour show. The tag match was great. The singles matches were great. I want them to do another Cruiserweight Classic immediately.
Yes. Yeah, you think it's going to be a yearly deal?
It should be.
It should be, and I hope they don't necessarily have repeat people in the tournament. Maybe a couple, but not many.
There's so many other good wrestlers that are still out there that haven't participated yet, you know?
Well, they wanted other people. Like, they wanted Will Ospreay, but they couldn't get him because
Will Ospreay is incredible if you haven't seen him.
No, but that'd be a great opportunity for them to get some guys in, maybe get a couple guys.
Get Ricochet in.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if it was just nothing but Cruiserweight Classics, like as soon as one tournament ends, another one starts, I'd be happy.
Oh, do we have our guests? Did they make it?
Yes, we do have some visitors walking into the studio.
So we're going to bring them in with a little. I consider this a little. Not that. Hey, guys, welcome to the Rochester and the Pain Clinic. We are joined right now in the studio by joining us. We have some wonderful guests, Fitz Vanderpool, Michael Spinks, Steve Smogger. I believe I said that right. Did I say that right, sir? Did I say that right? Hold on. Let me get all these microphones on. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. I was just going to play a little bit of Rocky music to get you guys to bring you in. All right. Thank you so much for coming up tonight. You're going to be at the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame at the Diplomat Banquet Center. And we've got, we'll start off with, you know, welcoming all you guys in. Boxing is huge in Rochester, obviously. You guys are in for this big award ceremony tonight. Michael Spinks, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing okay.
I want to tell you just a little thing. You probably in my life had the most predominant fight I can remember my young growing up years because of the fight with Mike Tyson, your very last professional fight. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm the one who's talking, so I'm behind you. See, hey, I'm in the other room there. So, but it's like it changed the way pay-per-view's done nowadays, sir. And what was it like going into that big fight with Mike Tyson? You know, this is how I'll explain it. Star Wars kind of started this whole movie hype thing back in the 70s, and now everything is months in advance. You see all these previews. But pay-per-view was just a newborn baby when you guys got on there, and you guys made it explode. What was that? What was, like, the build-up to that fight?
The build-up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was going on, but the build-up, just hard work for me. Shoot. Hard work. Not many interviews, but because Butch was trying to keep the press off of me, but it was pretty hard trying and stuff like that.
Mike Tyson was the hot commodity at that time, you know. Yeah. I mean, and he was 22 and you were 32 going into that fight. Was retirement creeping in your mind anyways, if that hadn't happened?
No, not really. After I lost, I just I thought I did as much as I could do in boxing. I thought, you know, so I thought after the loss, because I've always thought, you know, once I got into the boxing, once I turned pro, I'll put it like that. I said, well, I like to stay the champ as long as I'm boxing. You know, mm-hmm. That was my goal, to just try to remain the champ until I retired. And that last fight, you know, I lost, but I would have liked to win out a winner, but unfortunately, I got hit too hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. But you had some truly notable fights underneath, you know, before that. Larry Holmes twice, Jerry Cooney. I mean, Jerry Cooney was the up and comer guy that everyone thought was going to, you know, storm the world. And yeah, I mean, you
completely were undefeated at light heavyweight.
Yeah,
and then he had the guts to move up to heavyweight, and you won the belt. You know, 31 career wins, 1 loss, 21 knockouts in your career. You know, Olympic gold medalist. This year was an Olympic year, summer Olympic year. You won the gold medal in 1976 in Montreal. How was that experience for you back then?
Oh, it was wonderful. You know, I celebrated a birthday there as well. So I was really, I felt special. I mean, to celebrate a birthday. I didn't party or nothing, but my birthday came up while I was there in Montreal. So I just thought that was kind of special, you know, to have a birthday right in the Olympic Games. So,
did a strict diet, so no cake.
No. We
celebrated.
I couldn't celebrate. I went around trying to collect kisses, you know, see if I could persuade one of the women that I was walking past to, you know, I said my birthday, and not that they understood English, but I see. And needless to say, I didn't get any. I didn't get any. They paid me no attention. So,
all right.
But I was happy about it, so it didn't matter.
As I mentioned, Rich, he is considered one of the best light heavyweights of all time. You defended your title 10 times. Why did you end up moving up to heavyweight?
Well, I think Butch Lewis, he told me that I was kind of too good for my own good. And I was pretty happy just, you know, making it as a light heavy. And I never dreamt of moving up or trying to challenge a heavyweight for his crown. And when he brought that to me, you know, I was like, man, I at least wanted a year to prepare, you know, you know, to fight as a heavyweight. And I was blessed to just get 8 weeks, you know. So I had to go for it. But he said I was too good for my own good. I couldn't make the money that I wanted to make, you know, as a reigning light heavy. So he brought the challenge to me, and I asked him, what did he think? And he said, yeah, you can beat him, Stan. He said, because he can't fight while you fighting. So I said, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot.
He said, you can do it, Slim. He told him, Slim.
Yeah, I never met nobody like Butch Lewis, because Butch Lewis never strapped on a pair of gloves in his life. But he knew boxing. Yeah. He knew Styles McBoxing, and he prepared. He compared Leon and Muhammad, and he the one made that match, and Leon beat Muhammad. And here it is, my turn, and he matched my talent against Larry's talent. But he said Larry couldn't fight while you fighting him, so that was true. So as long as you're fighting, trying to fight Larry would not fight you.
Yeah, that's, you know, as Rich mentioned, 85, you fought Larry Holmes, and you won the crown in the Ring Magazine Upset of the Year that year. Is that your crowning achievement in boxing? Or is it the gold medal? Is it being one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time?
Yeah, well, you know, I think winning the gold medal was very special to me. I mean, really stands out, and becoming a light heavyweight champion and undisputed. All of them were.
Do you view anything higher than the other?
Well, the Olympics, I think, will always be.
That's an interesting take on it.
Will always be probably my top.
So Michael Spinks is getting the Integrity Award tonight. The Courage Award is going to Fitz Vanderpool. Fitz, thank you so much for joining us up in the studio here. Can you talk a little bit about your career? Because you took a little break in your career, came back and fought some more after.
7.5 year break.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had, I retired in 2005, and after, you know, fairly good career, and I had won 5 championship belts at that point, and then, you know, I was watching other fighters on TV and other Canadians, and I've always said that I want to be the best in the country in my 40s. I could be the best in my 40s, and so I was watching some of the other guys fight, and I'm like, you know what? You know, I said I can beat that guy, right? And as we know, you know, the first thing that goes on a boxer is his speed. The power is always there, but the speed is the first thing that goes on a fighter. And I'm in the gym, and I'm kind of, you know, throwing punches. I know you can only hear me on the radio, but I'm throwing punches, you know. And I'm going, man, I'm looking quick, you know, I'm still pretty quick. I got my speed. So I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to give it a go. So I said, you know, I better do this while I'm young enough to do it still. young enough, old enough.
I was going to say, you still look young enough to be out there doing it. So.
Yeah, and then you end up winning the Boxing Authority middleweight title, and you were 45 years old.
Yeah, 145, fighting a youngster who was 17 years younger than myself. And, you know, I didn't realize actually when I won that fight how I'd made history a couple of times over, because I became the oldest Canadian champion in history, succeeding
George Chavallo, right?
George Chavallo, yeah. And at that point, I went 10 rounds at 45. And, you know, fighting a youngster 17 years younger than myself. You know, and
it's a hell of an accomplishment.
I became a three-division pro champion, you know, because I won 47, 154, and 160.
Now, as I understand, you were born in Trinidad and Tobago. Was it difficult to transition to life in a new country when you moved to Canada?
Oh, yeah. I remember as a little kid, I was just sitting there, and my parents said, we're going to go to Canada, right? And I'm like, okay, Canada. So what's up there? You know, that's where, you know, this white stuff comes down, and it's cold, right? You know, so being a little kid, you know, you run around, you know, no shirt on, you know, climbing the mango trees, picking mangoes and stuff. And also, you got to wear all these warm clothes and stuff, all this. I'm like, man, I said, do I have to go?
And now these days, you're the owner of your own boxing gym and you train fighters?
Yeah. I've been running my gym for 15 years now. So even throughout my career when I was still fighting, I was running my gym, you know, working a full-time job, running my gym, you know, just doing all that right. So it's a rare thing, but I managed to get it done.
That's awesome. Now, you're going to be the recipient of the Rochester Boxing Courage Award. Can we get Bob in here to kind of explain what that award is and what it entails and why you selected Fitz the Whip Vanderpool here as the recipient of it?
Well, every year we get together as a group, the officers and the members and stuff like that. And because Fitz fought Charles Murray here, the story goes back when Fitz, I was talking to him at the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame. He told me, you know, Charles knocked me out. And I said, well, what did you do then? And he said, well, I went back. And he says, and I said, I wanted to box, and I'm going to beat somebody someday. And then he stayed with it, and look what he accomplished. So that's why he's one of our proudest Courage Award winners that I've presented over the years.
Now, Mr. Michael Spinks is getting the Integrity Award. Can you explain that award to us?
Yes. As you heard Michael talk, he's a low-key guy. When he went into the Olympics, it was a big thing for him, and he holds that in esteem. And then he went on to do other things. And his integrity in the sport is notwithstanding any other boxer that I know of. It was my privilege to meet him when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame many years ago, you know, and when we met him this past year down there, I asked him if he'd like to come here, and he said I'd be grateful to come here. So that's the type of fighters we like to bring to Rochester, and as you know, in the past two banquets, we've brought some great ones here. And
yeah, definitely John Ruiz last year, Ray Mercer the year before,
right,
amongst others.
And Michael and Fitz and Steve, they're our type of guys, you know. They give back to the community, each and every one of them, and we're glad to have them here.
Yeah, now we turned it to Steve here. Tell us a little bit about your background in boxing. You were more behind the scenes at first, correct?
I began in the early 80s, like anything in life, right place at the right time, when boxing, when casino gaming came to New Jersey, naturally following came boxing, and I was an amateur official at that time in the early 80s and was able to then transfer into the pros. My home club was the Atlantic City Police Athletic League. I think Michael even worked out there on several occasions with his brother. It was a stop for all of the high professionals coming in and needed a place to get ready, just to shake out, as they say. So I was exposed to a lot of really elite fighters early on, and I was then transitioned as the fight game increased in New Jersey. I was able to obtain my pro license, and that's how I was always on the amateur level, some way involved with the Police Athletic League, which is our main organization for the youth of Atlantic City.
Okay, and then you've been involved in some pretty famous fights as a referee, and you were the WBA Referee of the Year in 2010.
Correct.
You want to mention some of the famous fights you've been in? I know Ruiz versus Holyfield was one of them.
Yes. I think the most significant as far as when it occurred and having an event rise to the level, the hype, that the pre-hype, and it met that standard, Trinidad Hopkins was the first major event after 9/11. And it was a tremendous battle. Felix Trinidad was undefeated at that time. And Bernard really used his skill and his will and stopped Felix in the 12th. In my view, up close and personal, a lesser fighter would have fallen much earlier. Tito gave everything he had. And that was really, really a tremendous event. I enjoyed working. This is a bit of trivia. I was the first referee, or the referee to referee Lennox Lewis's first event in the United States on the undercard of a Tyson fight. It may have even, I don't think it was on Michael's card, but it was on the, it was in Atlantic City at the convention hall, and everyone was looking forward to seeing Lennox, this young up-and-coming fighter, and he beat a gentleman by the name of Bruce Johnson from Ohio in the first or second round. And of course, we touched upon Mike. I had the pleasure of working Michael in Denmark with Brian Nielsen, and that win was somewhat of an eliminator. That put him in line to fight Lennox in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I've been very, very fortunate to be the third man in, you know, a lot of really high-profile fights around the world. Boxing has been a tremendous blessing. And you see the people that I'm in contact with. If I may say, with all humility, the finest athletes in the world are the gentlemen seated to my left. I know you have football and you have swimming, and there's nothing like, and I'm closest to it and they know it, there's nothing like the 3 minutes that these gentlemen have to go through. There's no timeouts, there's no breaks. It's, you know, it's the last vestige of man against man and now woman against woman. And there's nothing like it. Refereeing, gentlemen, is boxing without the pain. What these gentlemen endure is really totally incredible. And I just want your audience to understand the depths of what fighters go through to practice their trade. It's really incredible.
It definitely is. If it wasn't for you, like, keeping control in there, there's a big part of each game. You know, each is very, you know, it's great that you guys are all there. I want to let people know that it's tonight at the Diplomat Banquet Center, One Diplomat Way, Rochester, New York. Doors open at 6 p.m. Dinner's at 7. There's going to be dinner, music, programs, pictures. I bet you guys are going to talk a little bit during the show, too. I'm pretty sure of that. Raffles, door prizes, and you get to meet some of the most historic boxers in the history of this business. And your brother Leon fought quite a few years after you had retired. Did he ever try to? Anyone ever try to get you to come back into the ring after you retired?
Yeah, a few people asked me, I think Butch told me that it was a $2 million fight that I could take, and I could pick my own opponent. But I said okay, but I never managed to start getting ready for it. So
cool, because I was going to say that.
I lost it.
Well, it's like it was time to move on, I guess, you know, and that's, and that fight was such a historic fight. Everyone, we mentioned a lot of people that you were coming up, and they're like, Mike Tyson. That's like, yes, everyone, because that's when, we all got together on a Saturday night and put, forked money together to get the pay-per-view, and that's really started the whole, the whole Tyson, on fire, with
Well, you mentioned the popularity there, Rich. Like, what are you guys' thoughts on current heavyweight boxing? Because back then, that was the heyday, basically, mm-hmm. at least in my mind. Do you guys have any opinions on current heavyweight boxing?
I don't think it reaches... They don't reach the level. of Michael Spinks.
No, I don't think so.
Or Lennox Lewis, or even Mike Tyson. It's splintered. These guys are...
Foreman Ali. I couldn't even tell you who's in the top 10 anymore.
They build the... We talked about it at dinner last night. They build these guys, and then they come up against a Fitz or a Michael. And that's the end of the building. I mean, these are... These gentlemen, you know, and I want to thank Bob and Gino and the staff to, you know, boxing alive here to be able to bring talent like these gentlemen here and give the opportunity for Rochester to meet a gentleman both in and out of the ring, both of these guys, and to get up close and personal. You detailed it. Look at that record. I mean, that's the gentleman sitting to my left.
Yeah.
Look at what Fitz did. I mean, these are the highest quality of our sport, and the awards are greatly deserved. And Bob, who's always at the Hall of Fame in Canastota, and Gino, they keep boxing alive and in the forefront. And it's I want to thank them. It's an honor to be here with the gentleman that I work with.
Really. Very cool. You know what? We have to go to break now. I want to thank you guys for coming in with us this morning. And one more time, we'll be plugging in the rest of the show that people can get tickets tonight. Doors open 6 p.m., dinner at 7. The Diplomat Party House, Diplomat Banquet Center, One Diplomat Way. You do not want to miss this. You're a boxing fan. You get to meet history and you know, some of the best boxers in the world. And even Big Baby Miller is going to be there. Now, listen, he's not here. So when we were talking about heavyweights, he might have taken offense to that a little bit. You know, maybe a little bit, you know. He's trying to make his way up there, too. Yeah,
but he's got to prove himself.
That's true.
He's got to get through with top contenders.
Yeah.
He's got to prove himself.
That's right. And, Steve, we didn't mention it, but you were at the Rhino Stadium here a couple weeks ago.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for the – absolutely enjoyed it. The atmosphere was fantastic.
It was, and a Big Baby
was – back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, all right. Great. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
We have one of our top fighters out of Rochester fighting tonight on an undercard to the Canelo fight. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but Willie Monroe Jr. is on the second co-feature.
Very cool. Very
awesome. That's going to be on pay-per-view HBO and. Hopefully tonight you'll see our local talent at work.
Can you guys get it in the bar there?
There's only one place in town, I guess, out in Henrietta that's having it.
Okay.
The Fight Factory has brought some people over there for that fight. We're going to try to bring the guys to either a private venue for that or wherever they'd like to go if we possible.
Very cool. You know? Well, I want to thank you, Bob. Thank you so much for thinking of us again every year and bringing the guys up here. Thank you so much for you guys. Thank you so much for coming up. And, man, hopefully you have great success tonight, and the fans are going to love it. Steve, you're very great with the words, and, yeah, you know, people are going to love hearing you tonight, too. So thank you so much for coming out. Don't forget, folks, tonight, the big dinner at the Diplomat Banquet Center. We'll see you on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
It's back. Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. Salvatore's.com.
Bob and Victor raised the green flag.
Cindy in Greece.
Paul in Fairport.
People all over Rochester are raising the green flag for a $160 cash bonus from M&T Bank.
Rick in South Wedge raised the green flag.
Meg here in Pittsburgh.
They're waving it proudly, and that makes us proud. Proud that we're part of the fabric of this community. And proud that we're celebrating 160 years.
Steven Arondequoit did it.
Barb and Gates Chai-Lai raised it.
Now it's your turn to raise the green flag. You too can earn a $160 cash bonus. Just open any M&T personal checking account, set up a qualifying direct deposit, and it's yours.
Tracy in Penfield.
You bet Pete and Webster raised that green flag.
Join in at any branch today or visit mtb.com/160bonus. M&T Bank. Understanding what's important for 160 years. Bonus requires a qualifying direct deposit of at least $100 within 90 days of opening. Open between 9/1/16 and 11/30/16. Offer varies by region and is subject to change. Certain restrictions and fees may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, Gooch a Gooch, Soccer Sam here for Salvatore's Pizza, Rochester's number one pizzeria. Barilla pasta dinners with sauce so good you wanna drink it. Capisce? Salvatore's.com.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct-to-You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
Stop, think, switch, and save with BlueRockEnergy.com.
Drive home and talk sports with a Rochester guy. I'm Carl Falk. Listen to me Monday 3 till 6 on the one and only Fox Sports 1280, Rochester. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Hey, we're back on the air.
These amateurs, I tell you, Rich, where do you find these guys?
We're on the air right now, 222-1280, star 12 is the number. I want to let you know real quick, we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 204. That's October 8th. Come on out, see Michael Bisping versus Henderson 2 for the middleweight title. Let's not keep our guest on the line too long. Joining us tonight in Lockport, New York, is the Ring of Honor is making its way back this year. And on the phone right now, we have Mr. Dalton Castle joining us. Dalton, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I'm a world of emotions right now.
All right. Well, welcome to welcome back to the Rochester airwaves. Welcome to thank you for joining us. You're going to be in Lockport tonight. You and the boys are teaming up. It's going to be a great night in Lockport. How's everything going, man? You're like one of our favorite wrestlers on Ring of Honor. The only reason we watch it every week is to see the cock of the walk, as they say, you know. But
the party peacock.
I think you might be confusing tonight. I'm teaming with Mr. Colt Cabana.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I thought I see that Mr. Colt Cabana, and a lot of people I know that everyone. Colt Cabana, big following in this area too. Has been around here a few times, but yeah, you're going to be. That's right. I'm going through the list as we're going right now. You're back to Lock. Were you in Lockport last year when they were there?
No, unfortunately, this will be the first time I get to wrestle. This will be the first time I get to wrestle this close to my home. Most people probably don't know. This peacock comes from Rochester, and this is like a homecoming for me. I'm so excited to do it. Regardless of how my voice sounds, this is just what I sound like when I'm laying in bed and someone calls me.
Just let that sink in. We're going to remember that forever.
I don't mean to be so sleepy sounding. It's just, this is who I am. Deal with it.
Great. It's been an incredible couple of years with Ring of Honor. I mean, did you ever think when you first showed up that you were going to be going as high as you are? Being such a fan favorite and everything?
I mean, I guess I don't think I imagined it going exactly like this, but I never doubted myself. I always knew I was really good, but it's so fantastic that other people thought that too. And that's something you can't plan for and you can't force. So I feel lucky and fortunate, and it's a path I didn't expect to go this well, but man, am I happy it did.
Well, it's the perfect path for you, being someone who loves to entertain, but also, an athlete, amateur wrestling background.
Right, yeah. Somebody who has spent so much time sitting behind a microphone, trying to entertain the masses such as you folks do. But then maybe I look down and I went, whoa, look at all these muscles. They're going to waste. People can't see them, and I'm not picking things up.
Yeah, with radio, that's the downside. But right. Tonight out in Lockport, teaming up with Colt Cabana, taking on Jay and Mark Briscoe, You know, I saw some footage this week. You know, the Briscoes giving you a little credit, being both fans of birds. He called you birds of a feather almost.
All right, yeah. We do. I think we look into each other's eyes and we see things that we like about ourselves within each other. Mark, bird of a feather, little chicken boy, and me, the peacock. And Jay and Colt, I know they've known each other for a long time, probably longer than I've even been wrestling. So it's going to be interesting. I know you guys like to hit hard. We like to have fun, but we also like to... Here's what I want. The Lockport building, I want to fill it. I need as many people to come out to the show, not just because I'm vain, and I love a great audience, but because... When we start throwing the Briscoes around, there's no telling where they're going to land. So, like, the more people in the crowd, the better chance of them not hitting their heads on the cement floor.
Would that really hurt the Briscoes anyways, honestly?
Yeah, because you're right. The poor cement floors are going to break.
Well, if you're sitting in the front row and one of the Briscoes ends up in your lap, you get to take them home, right?
Yeah,
those are the rules of wrestling. Everybody knows that. It's like a pinata.
I'll say, it's nice seeing Ring of Honor coming close here to Rochester and in the Buffalo area, too. They back in 2003, 2004, they were around here a lot back then. And then we had like a big, it was a big dry spell. And so now it's great that they're coming back. And a guy who from our town is going to be on the card and is doing so well. People are so excited to be coming out there. You're going to definitely get that big crowd out there and tonight. And we're so excited to see you come out. And the boys are with you, right?
Oh, I've always got boys with me. That's right.
Yeah, I think
all of them.
I think the last time we actually got to see Dalton in action locally, I want to say, was it the last 2CW show when
yep.
he took on Sammy Callahan for the title?
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
The last time, probably out in Syracuse?
Yep, we were in Syracuse.
Yeah. I think I've been to Buffalo between then and now. I don't know when the last time I was in Lockport. I just know I'm real pumped to be back.
Yeah. I'll tell you, with the way the Ring of Honor TV show is going, too, it's so it just is everywhere in the United States, and you know, with the Sinclair TV behind it and everything. And you know, we, you know, like I always kind of joke around Rochester because we get the same show about six times on three different channels here every weekend. But you know, if you miss it once, you're going to catch it a couple hours later on 13 or on 7 or, and so. But the thing is it just shows you how cool that you have this big business behind you guys. And I mean, I'm sure, and I can tell myself from seeing the crowds that it is definitely bolstering these crowds every time you goes out. So they're really building, you know, a world, you know, a huge company out there. You know, and I put them in the top two, top three of all the companies that you could wrestle for nowadays. You know, without
yeah.
a doubt, especially with a network behind it. You know, I mean, you know, a network of TV stations all across America. So I mean, it's fantastic, and you're getting over it. I bet you it makes it tougher for you to go out and, you know, be a normal person in your real life. You know, because people see you on TV all the time.
Oh, man, you have no idea. Literally, I go out and dozens of people know me in this country.
Dozens? Like okay, Rock.
I can't go to a family reunion. I can't go to a scheduled dinner with friends without people recognizing me and being like, hey, aren't you my son? And I'm like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. I'm so famous.
No, that's awesome. I mean, heck, you know, Chris Jericho stole your mustache, so I mean, well, you know.
No, he didn't. He looks handsome.
Okay. Well, Dalton, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We're going to definitely be coming out there tonight. We're going to say hi when we get
that's
there. But thank you for joining us. And folks, you meet Lockport today. Ring of Honor's there. They're going to be there. It's the they're on tour, and man, Lockport is just like a hop, skip, and a jump from Rochester, and even closer to Buffalo. But thank you so much for the time today, sir.
Hey, no problem. Hey, was this my first time on the Peyton Clinic?
It is. It was your first time, and it's like you know, it is, and we've been thinking about it for a long time. It's like back when we were 2CW, it's like we got to get him on for 2CW, and it's like. You know, it's like for that last show and everything, and it's like, yeah, this is the first time. Maybe one time, if you're in town, you're definitely more than welcome to come join us in the studio.
Oh, that'd be fun. But look at me, man, guest in the Pain Clinic.
That's good.
I finally made it, I think.
Oh, don't be that way. That's funny, though. Yeah. Thank
Can't
you so
much. To tell my sixth grade social study teacher about this one. Look who's big time. Pain clinic guest. Dalton Castle.
You know, I'm going to tell my buddy Murph, who said that you used to lift him up on your shoulders and run around with him on your back. So
I don't think I would do that to Murph. He's a big boy. We went to college together.
That's right. We were watching football last weekend. He's like, yeah, just, he goes, I can't ever forget that guy because he could pick me up and run around with me on his back. It's like, okay.
I couldn't remember where I knew Murph. One time he reached out to me. He's like, why do I know this guy? It's either college or we used to be involved in some sort of gambling ring together. I couldn't remember. But, yeah, he looked sketchy, so I assumed it was that.
Well, thank you so much for the time today, and we'll see you tonight, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Support.
Not a problem, man. And we'll definitely
Ring of Honor, ROHWrestling.com. It's my rule.
That's right, ROHWrestling.com. You can find out where it's in Lockport, New York. Thank you so much for the time. We got to go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic on the Cash Man. And by the way, it's the Keenan Center. Ring of Honor will be at the Keenan Center tonight in Lockport. The Keenan Center is 433 Locust Street in Lockport. Ring of Honor is going to be there. You cannot miss that. If you, they get such great coverage in this market that you definitely don't want to miss the Reloaded Tour tonight. I'm the Cash Man. I'm back here with Danger Boy. I'm here with Brian Burke and you. And, man, the show is flying by fast. You know, we had our boxing guest in the first segment, Dalton Castle in the second. And actually, we're one break behind. So maybe I'll squeeze some news in while AJ Styles' the music goes on in the background, and we'll take another quick break. And then you can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. Real quick, CM Punk loses in his debut. Thoughts, real quick.
No surprise.
Yeah, no, I mean, we all were thinking he was going. What about you, Stu? You were there.
I was there in row six. I am not shocked at what happened whatsoever. Well, I'm surprised he lasted 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
I was just going to say, once he got down on the ground, I'm kind of impressed, but he defended longer than I thought he was going to.
For a while there, so.
When he stood up and the other guy went down for the takedown, and that was over from the very first time they hooked up in that fight. So that happened last week. And you know what? Punk will be fighting again because the pay-per-view buys were incredible. And you know UFC does not take a blind eye to those numbers.
Did they get a count yet?
Yeah, well, it was doubled normal, so that's what they were saying.
Wow.
So Dana White says Punk most likely will be fighting someplace else. I don't think so. He might be on an undercard, maybe. Maybe he'll be on a televised undercard, and he'll draw a big rating. So they're going to try
Fight Night or something like that.
Something like that. But beyond, let's go to break. We'll be back one more segment after that. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, Brian Burke, Double B, and Stu joining us. Got less than a minute and a half, so we're going to go with a little glorious music going in. But real quickly, with that little bit of time left, I'm scared to do this, but we got Rashawn on the phone. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great interviews today. And, of course, me being the biggest AJ Mark, you know you're going to hear from me, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. You guys have always talked about the most beautiful women in wrestling. My new vote, I've stayed out of it. My vote is for Ember Moon. She is the new bae. Y'all have a nice day.
Okay. You know what? I like Alexa Bliss myself, but you know, I mean, maybe that's
Harley Quinn Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, I dig that, definitely.
Nice Ohio girl.
Yeah. You know, there's a few girls that are out there that are okay. I mean, you know.
Just okay, you know.
Yeah, you know. Of course, if Dan was here, they wouldn't be quite Stephanie McMahon, but Danny DC left for the day, so. Well, it's hard to take in the show because it's like, you know, we were expecting, I don't know, everything kind of got skewered, so it kind of, all the news pretty much is going away. But you can check out the shows that are archives online at thepainclinic.net, or you can subscribe to us at iTunes. And next week on the show.
Next week, big guest.
Next week, WWE Hall of Famer is going to be joining us. And I'll tell you, he has, he's a man who enjoys eating another man's ear. No, I won't say that. It's Mike Tyson that's going to be on with us next week. So